The summit was on them before they knew it, and a bizarre sight greeted them. As they stood on the peak of the dunes, they were aware that the land fell away a couple of hundred yards, then leveled, so that it was higher than the level of the desert floor behind them. This land was lush and covered in vegetation and scrub, with copses of trees peppered around, forming small woods. The air carried with it the scent of animal and plant life, and similar sounds could be heard at the edge of their hearing. There was a faint tang of ozone in the breeze, suggesting that they were nearer the coastline than they had realized. Ryan looked back at the desert behind them. It stretched away as far as he could see on every side. But the dunes on which they stood also seemed to carry on out of view to the left and right. The disturbance of the land after the nuke cost had caused this area of the Deathlands to drop down and form a valley, one in which the chem clouds had been sucked in and trapped, perpetually hanging over the lands within. This had magnified the effects of the elements and converted this area into a desert, devolving into the sandy wastelands in a fraction of the time it should otherwise have taken. Ryan realized that the redoubt had pitched them into the middle of a trap, and it was only by dogged persistence that they had escaped. How many others had wandered into the desert at some point and never emerged? Turning back to the fertile lands beyond, Ryan breathed a sigh of relief. Whatever perils lay ahead, they would exclude starvation or thirst.
Triple red from here on in, people. There's no knowing what we may come up against now.
The rest of the travelers followed suit, checking that their weapons were ready for rapid response. They fell into line behind the one-eyed man as he set off. Jack followed directly in Ryan's wake, with Christy and Doc taking the middle positions, Mildred and JB at the rear, with the armorer taking the last place, covering their backs. The woodlands and scrub grew dense, and before half an hour passed, they had to start hacking a path through the thickets, watching for the tangles of roots that crossed the floor of the woods, laying treacherous traps for the unwary. Ryan wanted them to be as unobtrusive as possible, but this was hard when the very density of the woodlands made progress impossible without some kind of noise. The thick grasses and tall plant life also made it possible for someone with a good vantage point to be able to track their progress. It was far from ideal, and Ryan was aware of an additional problem. The very noise of their progress made it hard for them to hear anyone who may be advancing on them. The deeper they went, the darker it became, as the sky was obscured by a canopy of green. Most of the wildlife seemed far more wary of them than they were of it. Despite the sounds, a glimpse of anything living was a rarity. From those few examples that did occasionally come into view, it seemed that the resident wildlife of the woodlands was small. The humidity grew, even as the glare of the sun vanished, and the travelers became aware of the sweat that ran off their foreheads and down their backs. Some were more afflicted than others, but gradually all of them shed at least one layer of clothing, opting to wrap it around them rather than swathe themselves.
Fire blast. This seems more trouble than the sand.
I think on the whole I'd rather have this. At least we can find food and water here.
Never fear, Master Ryan. It is said that when we come from the desert, we shall find both revelation and salvation.
What's with the revelation and salvation? You sound like some kind of old-time preacher, like the ones that Mother Sonia used to tell us stories of back in Harmony.
Truly, my dear lady, I have no idea of whence these notions have sprung, nor indeed if they wish to disperse in some manner or continue. I only know that they are flashing into the forefront of my consciousness with such strength that I feel compelled to give breath to them. I wonder if they will continue, or if indeed they are the fruits of the subconscious, trying to tell me something.
They're trying to tell you that you're a crazy old bastard. I really wish you'd give it a rest with a good word, Doc. Reminds me too much of my own childhood.
Really, my dear doctor? Why, pray tell, would that be?
Mildred rolled her eyes and considered telling Doc where he could shove his questions, but was stopped by Jack.
Shut it! No stoop shit.
Ryan stopped and turned to him. The others also stopped behind Jack, waiting. Each of them listened, but at first couldn't pick out what had alerted the albino hunter's finely tuned senses. Jack pulled on his camo jacket with a smooth, silent motion, wrapping the material around him so that he had easy access to the leaf-bladed throwing knives hidden within the pockets of his jacket. As he did so, the others strained to catch what had taken Jack's attention. As they listened, each sound became distinct to the point where they could isolate and identify it as bird or animal. except for something that sounded like themselves, crashing through the undergrowth. Quieter, perhaps, like people who were more used to the layout of the woods and could pick their way through the thickets with greater ease, but not enough to do it silently. If they were tracking Ryan's people, then they might realize that they had been spotted, as the team had come to a halt. But if they were making their own way, ignorant of anyone else in the woods, they might not know that they'd been heard. Either way, they were headed straight toward the companions. Ryan turned in the direction of the oncoming group and planned his defense. He had to move swiftly as they were getting closer every second. He looked at the travelers, blasters in hand. With an exchange of glances, the companions sprang into action. Jack leapt up, grabbing the nearest branch of an overhanging tree. He worked his way up to a perch. He scanned the area from the top, taking care to keep himself concealed. About a mile away, he could see a small inlet from the sea beyond, and the signs of a village, too small to really be called a ville, that had settled there. Coming toward the travelers were four men and a woman. They were dressed in rags and moved with a degree of care. Quickly climbing down the tree, Jack told them what he had seen. The party of five was only a couple of minutes away from them now, and Ryan directed his friends into defensive positions in the undergrowth.
We want to let them pass if possible. If there's a settlement, last thing we want is to piss off the people there by chilling some of their own.
Don't look like they're after us.
They moved into position. For Jack, the leaf-bladed knives were almost a part of his person. Doc withdrew his sword from within the silver lion's head cane. The blade was made of the finest Toledo steel, honed to razor sharpness. And despite their continuing travels, the old man took care to keep it polished and sharp. Mildred and Christy, who never habitually carried blades, took a leaf-bladed knife each from Jack. They both weighed the blades in their palms, getting the balance of the delicate but deadly weapons. Jack and JB ascended into nearby trees, giving them a good position of both the view on the ground beneath and also of the path of their enemy. For the other four, it wasn't quite as simple. Ryan took a thick clump of shrub that had a prickly leaf as his base, figuring no one in their right mind would want to cut through it. Mildred and Christy both opted for dense clusters of tree and shrub growth that they had to squeeze into. These weren't impassable, but anyone in a hurry would opt for an easier path. Doc chose to conceal himself in the hollowed-out bole of a tree. Once in cover, they could only wait, the sounds of the villagers growing louder as they neared. It was obvious that they were trying to keep the noise down, but were unsuccessful. Snatches of urgently whispered exchanges came drifting through the undergrowth.
I heard it, I'm sure.
Better be something big. Too long since the last time.
If you don't shut the fuck up, it'll be my foot and your ass having a get-together.
The group was on edge, hunting some kind of animal. Up in his tree, Jack shook his head. Whatever these people were, they were no hunters. There had been little sign of large game so far in the woodlands. The hunters probably would have walked right past the hidden travelers without even knowing they were there, if not for Doc. Doc had eventually grown aware that the bowl wasn't the best place to hide. As he heard the hunting party approach, he also heard the small tickings and scratchings of the insects that had eaten out the hollow of the tree. They'd been silent when he had first entered, and so he had assumed that the tree had long since been vacated. His disturbing their space had awakened them, and now they were intent on seeing what had invaded their domain. Doc's skin began to itch. Whether the insects were really starting to crawl on him, or whether it was his imagination, didn't matter. All that did was the sensation driving him mad. He tried to keep his resolve as he heard the enemy slash its way through the brush, but all he could think of were hundreds of insect feet crawling over his skin, tiny teeth nipping at his flesh, injecting his bloodstream with who knew what. Doc fought the panic rising within him with limited success.
Dark night. I don't believe it.
One moment, all had been quiet and secure as the five strong hunting party made their way past the companions. And the next...
They're everywhere!
Doc emerged from his hiding place, arms swinging, one of which held nearly 2 feet of sharpened steel. A fight was inevitable at this point. And Doc's violent entry into the fray gave the companions the upper hand in the fight. The hunting party was stunned by the sudden accidental ambush. That moment of indecision gave the others all the time they needed. They all emerged from their hiding places. Swinging wildly with his sword, Doc teetered off balance and fell toward JB, the blade swishing down so close to the armorer that it nicked his shoulder, ripping the cloth of his shirt as he tried to move out of the way. And as Doc flew past JB, he lashed out at the old man. He didn't want to injure Doc, but since he was floundering, the best thing would be to put him out of action and quick. He caught Doc a glancing blow. Doc, in a crazed world of his own imaginings, had no idea that it had been JB he had inadvertently attacked, and who had been defending himself.
By the three Kennedys! John Barrymore!
The so-called hunters were frozen. In a heartbeat, Ryan could see that they were absolutely no threat. Their fighting posture was pathetic. They gripped their weapons like novices, and genuine survival instincts should have spurred them into action by now. It would be a massacre.
Get out of here! Go on, run, you cowards!
Ryan's comrades stared at him, their jaws dropped. They had never, not once, seen him behave like that.
What? You think I'm going to have us slaughter some triple stoops over Doc not being able to sit still for 5 blasted minutes? Forget it. What a stoop move. Well, there's no way we can approach the village now, and they'll be after us.
Which they'd do if someone else found their bodies later on, lover. You did the right thing.
Ryan, I am...
Can it, Doc. It's done with. Let's get out of here. This way. Keep the noise low and keep triple red.
Ryan strained to hear the noise that had alerted Jack. Jack grinned briefly, then melted into the undergrowth, only the slightest rustling of foliage marking his passing.
Keep those blasters ready and stick close.
Behind Ryan, each of his comrades kept an impassive silence, their faces set, lost in their own thoughts as they followed him. Jack moved silently through the woods, circumventing the source of the noise. He didn't want to cross the group that was beating its way toward the scene of the near skirmish. He paused and listened intently. He could pick out at least 6 sets of footfalls, perhaps more. It was hard to tell in the undergrowth. The voices were indistinguishable among the other sounds. He reckoned there were probably 6 in the chasing pack. Not too bad as odds went. The hunting party stirred a commotion among the wildlife. The treetops were rustling as birds, squirrels, and other creatures hopped from tree to tree, moving in a blind panic. It could be just the cover Jack needed. He scrutinized the canopy of tree cover with a practiced eye. The limbs on each tree were strong, hanging close together. Jack's vulpine grin spread across his scarred visage. The hunter in pursuit of the hunters. Jack scaled the nearest tree, moving smoothly up the gnarled trunk. Once up into the lower limbs, he edged out, carefully testing the weight. He was soon scudding across the canopy of leaf cover, using the sounds of the disturbed bird and animal life to mask his progress. In a matter of minutes, he was just to the rear of the hunting party. There were 6 of them, as he had guessed, 2 women and 4 men. 2 of the men were old, in their 50s at least. The other 2 were younger, one of them carrying a large gut, but otherwise looking strong. The women were both young, with long, muscular limbs. One of them had an ample chest that bounced as she moved, made more obvious by the belt of ammo that was slung across her chest. She carried a remade AK-47, which failed to account for the belt, as the gun was fed by a magazine. The other woman, however, was carrying what looked to Jack like a Sharps. Jack would have put the village down as a fishing community, with little need for blasters when they were this isolated. At the back of his mind, it struck him that the hunting party seemed destitute. Their clothes were threadbare and well-worn. They'd need something hardier as a predominantly fishing build. And why were they hunting game when they could get most of their food from the seas? It was starting to look as though the companions had walked straight into someone else's crisis. A few miles away, Ryan's pack was moving through the woodlands at a rapid pace. The idea was to put as much ground between them and their pursuers as soon as possible. It was virtually impossible for 5 people to cut their way through the undergrowth without leaving a trace of their passing, so speed was their best advantage. Ryan was so focused on what he was evading, he was completely unaware that he was heading straight into a trap. Jack had never moved so fast, or with so little caution. He had left the hunting party far behind, his red eyes unblinking, every nerve ending screaming, the blood pumping as he pushed his muscles, springing from branch to branch, sometimes landing on the toes of his combat boots and trusting his arms to carry the bulk of his weight on an overhead limb. Once or twice, his feet had slipped, and his arms felt as though they would be wrenched from their sockets as his feet flailed into empty air. But his luck held, and he carried on this way, making time and ground as fast as was humanly possible. The trouble was, he needed to be more than human.
I would hate to break silence at such a moment, my dear Ryan, but I feel I must.
Doc, this is no time.
Wait! Listen.
Fireblast. What the hell is that?
Doesn't matter. Whoever they are, they're nearly on us.
Ryan couldn't believe they'd been so slack as to miss the oncoming sound of another hunting party. It couldn't be the one they were avoiding earlier, as these had to be some distance behind. The one-eyed warrior looked up, but could see nothing. The noise continued past them. He looked at his people. Before any of them had the chance to say a word, the rustling continued, and Jack appeared before them, springing down from the trees.
Different party. Five. Hair blasters and blowpipes. Only a minute, maybe two, and coming right for us.
Using shrubs and clumps of trees to locate themselves in areas less likely to be hacked through, they settled in. Jack returned to his position in the trees. As they waited, tension growing with each passing minute, it became more apparent that something was wrong. The five-man hunting party was nowhere to be seen. Up in the branches, Jack scanned the area. The second party had located them and opted to split up to encircle their enemy. They'd gone into hiding themselves, so well that even Jack was having trouble locating them. Mildred was huddled close to the bole of a tree, her pistol raised. She was scanning the area intently, but found nothing.
Oh.
As she turned, she felt a pricking in the side of her neck, like an insect bite. She slapped at it, and felt the protruding dart. She opened her mouth to call a warning, but felt her chest grow heavy. Her vocal cords seized up. Her balance failed, and she toppled to the ground. Jack heard Mildred fall, whirled, and saw her hit the ground. He also caught the flicker of movement as the sec man came out of hiding, moving over to check Mildred's condition.